Our text for this morning, our text is the epistle reading, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 2. I share with you again these words beginning at verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, for a while our church and school was having internet connection problems. I thought at first, what is the matter with our service provider that we so often don't have any connection? Well, as it turns out, the problem was with our in-house network equipment. We would try to send a message or get information or even be right in the middle of something, and all of a sudden, no connection. Well, the solution was not just to sit there and wait until it came back, but to turn things off and to start over again. Sometimes one computer would connect in and the others wouldn't, but as soon as that one did, then the other ones would as well. Well, I didn't understand all of this. I'm glad somebody did and was able to fix things so that it's better. Not that we don't ever have problems anymore, but the problems are being taken care of. This could be a parable of another kind of problem that we do have in our church and school and our homes and everywhere. Not just the connection with our internet service provider, but our connection with the provider of all things, and that is God. The problem is on our end, not on His. We malfunction. We sin. We break the connection. The solution is not to just ignore it and somehow wait for it to get better, but it's to do something, that is to start over, to repent, to restart. The good news of Easter is that Jesus has come to fix the connection, to reconnect us with God, with the result that we can also connect with each other. As we look at our text, we see how God gives us life to share in the light. We see how sin's lies leave us alone in the dark. But Jesus returns to forgive and give joy. Let's think first about how God gives us life to share in the light. John writes, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ." Verse 7, he says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." We are created to be connected. Great art is meant to be seen. Great music is meant to be heard and listened to. Great literature is meant to be read. God, by nature, is creative, even more than us. He is, by nature, loving. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live in an intimate connection with each other, an intimate relationship. And this loving relationship of the persons of the one true God, the living God, expresses itself by giving life to us to share with others and sharing love. We are created for the purpose of being in a relationship with Him and also in a relationship with each other. When God first created, He said, "It is not good for man to be alone." God created marriage. He said, "Be fruitful and multiply." God went on to create families. God created communities. God created the church. Our relationship with God is designed to be connected with our relationship with each other. When God planned to save us by sending His Son as a descendant of Adam and then of Abraham, He didn't just give them a single line of errors, but he gave, well, he theoretically could have done it that way, but he gave them huge families who became great nations. When Jesus came, he gathered disciples, not just so that there were somebody around to tell the story when he left, but in order to be in a group relationship with each other. To be a witness of our loving relationship with God, to be a picture of that by our caring and sharing and supporting and forgiving each other. That's what the first reading for today is about. It's about how the church became a picture of how God provided for us. We learn to have a relationship with God by our relationships with each other. And vice versa, we learn how to have relationships with each other by our relationship with God. No wonder John says later in this letter, if someone says, I love God, but he hates his brother, he's a liar. He doesn't know what he's talking about. When God brings people to faith, he does it by his word. But he does not ordinarily choose to do it simply by that word speaking as a voice from heaven, or even to send an angel to tell people, but by people who have a relationship with God, going to other people and sharing what they know. See, when God does appear to people by angels, he simply tells them, go talk to those people. No wonder, when people come to faith and join a church, it's found that unless they have several friends within that church within a year, they end up dropping out again. John says in our text here, we, plural, have touched and have heard and have seen. And as a result, we proclaim and we have testified and we've declared it to you. So that by verse 6, the we he's talking about includes his hearers as well. When we have faith in God, we need to share it. We need to share it with others. Not just because others need to hear it, but because it's part of the nature of faith that we need to share it. This is why we come together for worship. This is why we share and talk together in Bible study. Because the Christian faith is not just a solitary thing, me and Jesus. But it's sustained and it's strengthened by being shared. John says this means walking together. Not alone in the dark, but in the light where we can see and where we can be seen. But then he warns, sin's lies leave us in the dark. This is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And he concludes in chapter 2, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. One of the worst punishments is solitary confinement. One of the worst things you can do to a young person today is to cause them to lose their phone or their device by which they're connected to everybody else. One of the worst things, in fact, the very worst thing that can happen to any of us is hell, which is simply being separated totally from God. But this is what happens as a result of sin. Luther describes sin as being curved in on ourselves. Instead of caring about our relationships with others, instead of loving God and loving our neighbor, we care only for ourselves. This is what broken human nature is like. Sin, selfishness, self-pride is a poison then that destroys relationships. with other people and with God. It hurts and causes others to pull back. Shame causes us to hide. Blame pushes other people away. A part of the nature of our sin, however, is that we want to keep it to ourselves. We want to keep it a secret. We don't want to talk about it. Our whole society wants to ignore sin. Let's not say that anything is wrong, because then it's easier to ignore the thing that I do wrong. The solution to all of our problems is simply tolerance of everything. But this only allows us to be together without touching, which is not the same as genuine relationships, which risk touching the sore spots of sin within each of us. And unless we are willing to open up and risk touching those sore spots, then we cannot have genuine relationships. We need to open up to the light, to God, to each other. Otherwise, we cannot be healed. Superficial relationships say, "How are you?" "Oh, I'm fine. I'm good." We say that without even thinking about how we really are. And if our sin, our fault, our brokenness does somehow manage to peek out in a mistake or a failure, then we say to each other, "Oh, that's okay. No problem. Forget it." John says, that's not really true. That's a lie. It's not okay. It is a problem. And the very first person we always lie to is ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us, because we're in the dark. That's where we hide. Separated from others, separated from God. Lies and darkness are not good for relationships. The only way to take relationships and fellowship seriously is to take sin seriously and to deal with it openly. Trying to avoid sin avoids genuine relationships. What is needed is truth and confession so that there can be forgiveness and genuine healing. John says, when we say we don't sin, then we're deceiving ourselves. But he says, I'm writing this so that you don't sin. But if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. God can take care of that. So, how can I keep from walking that is continuing in sin? It's only by God taking away my sin constantly with His forgiveness. God is not just benignly benevolent. He is not just apathetically tolerant. He doesn't say about our sins, well, that's okay, I don't mind. He does mind. It does make a difference. For Him to say that would mean He doesn't care much about us. But God does care about us. He is genuinely loving. He cares enough about us to deal with our sin. That is, to take care of it, to take it on Himself. If we say we have no sin, we're also calling God a liar, because God tells us the truth. In our confession, we say, I, a poor, miserable sinner. Why do we say that? Not because I necessarily feel poor, or even because I necessarily feel miserable, but because that's what God's Word tells me. God's Word says you are poor. You have nothing to offer to God. God's Word says you are miserable. You are under God's wrath. But it also says, if I confess my sins, God forgives, just like that. Because He's waiting to do that. Forgiveness is not ignoring sin, as if it doesn't matter. Because that just leaves it there. Forgiveness is taking away sin. Forgiveness is paying the debt. If sin doesn't matter, then forgiveness doesn't matter. And if forgiveness doesn't matter, then Christ doesn't matter. He's irrelevant. But John says Christ totally matters. Jesus returns to forgive and give joy. He says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. And we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. He goes on in chapter 2, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. John here is obviously referring to what we heard in today's gospel reading. Jesus comes back to the disciples with real life. A life that can be seen and heard and touched. Not just alive in their memories or somehow spiritually sensed. And the first thing he says is, peace be with you. His resurrection means the restoring of the relationship with those who abandoned him and those who denied him. Once again, there is peace. Once he died on the cross, he had totally finished saving us from our sins. He's paid the full price in our place. Once he had descended into hell to announce his victory, he had totally defeated the devil and all his schemes. Once he had risen from the dead, he had totally defeated death and opened the way to eternal life for us. But he didn't just return to life. He returned to us. Instead of going straight back to heaven, he comes back to his disciples. Because the purpose of all this is restoring our relationship with God. The result is also restoring the relationships he gives us with each other. The next thing he does is announce the forgiveness of sins. Not just that he forgives us, but that we can forgive each other. This is his plan for how we receive forgiveness. It's through our relationships, through our sharing together in the church. So, as we gather here again today, he comes to us again today in a way that can be touched, in a way that we share with his body and blood, through our relationship, through our sharing together in the Lord's Supper. He says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Here is forgiveness for you and for you to share with others. So, the next thing he said that happens in the gospel is sharing the truth of the resurrection with others. Now, at first, Thomas fails to believe the testimony of the eyewitnesses. But Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This is what John is saying in this letter. He's saying, we heard, we saw, we touched. This means Jesus is alive. We're testifying it to you. Believe it. Because this means Jesus gives us life together with him. Because he is the propitiation for our sins. Boy, there's a word you don't use every day. What's propitiation? It means appeasement, reconciliation. He has restored our relationship with God. And this, in turn, is what brings us into relationships with each other. And that, John says, makes our joy complete. Because joy is meant for being shared with others. And so we see that God gives us life to share in the life. John says he writes this letter so that we can have fellowship with God and with each other. Because that's what the life that God has given us is like. It is designed to be shared. Sin's lies leave us alone in the dark. John says he writes this letter so that we do not sin. Because sin destroys real relationships. But Jesus returns to us to forgive and give joy. John says he writes this letter so that our joy can be complete. Because it is in sharing together a relationship with Jesus that there is joy for us now and forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen.